already talked about how they have a problem with this card. And when I think of, like, if we were to go out to get a job interview and there are people who we have to compete with, that is us. That is us with those three thoughts, because we have to compete with those other people. We don't want those other people to get a job, so it's not necessarily a bad and evil card. It just maybe shows the competitiveness side of us.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you something to think about. Think of this landscape as being inside yourself. Think of the field on which this drama is being played out in the five as being the field of your own consciousness. Think of the characters in the card as being voices inside yourself. Now, we all know that we oftentimes have conflicting voices in ourselves. We want to do this and we also want to do that. We want to have this, but we want to have that. And oftentimes the things are mutually incompatible. We have struggles with ourselves. There are voices that say this, and then there are voices that say that. And at some point or another, it's necessary to do something. One voice or another has to be triumphant, at least temporarily. And think of those characters in this figure and that whole stormy cloud scene and all of that turmoil and indication of difficulty and the look of triumph. Think of all that as a battle taking place inside yourself, which happens, of course, periodically. It's a suggestion, and I shouldn't really be throwing that kind of stuff in, I guess, because this is for you, not for me. But it's something that I thought you might find interesting. The cards are often interior landscapes, not exterior ones. And they talk about interior conditions, not necessarily exterior ones. So, let's do the last one, which is kind of in contrast, which is the two. Robin, what's your feeling about the two? What came out for you in the two?
Guess how hurt. It was like very definitive. It's like our arms were crossed, the swords, it was like a real barrier, the swords, and then the right at the edge of the water.
What, so which of that, which of those details glowed for you, stuck out for you?
I guess it's the solidness of her presence.
Good. Hiding behind Elizabeth, who's got her hand up, is Lisa, who's been sort of hidden from you all this time. What's going on with you, Lisa? What stuck out for you in the two?
I guess what sticks out right now is the fact that, well, not only, you know, she's protecting herself so much and, or, you know, not really wanting to face certain things or be aware of certain things, but what's standing out to me now is the fact that now that she's in that water, because the water just seems to have more importance to me now, because see, water is so unpredictable.
Mm.
So here she is in this vulnerable state, and like if a big wave comes along, she's not really as protected, you know, as she might appear to be. Or
good.
That's what's there.
Good. Elizabeth, you were interested.
Yeah, the part that I always come back to with the two swords, and maybe this is just the way the card is drawn, and I've mentioned this before, is that she's peeking under that damn blindfold. She's peeking out, and that says to me, like, the whole card to me is about the water is like, you know, some sort of emotional turmoil that's happening to you. And she's turning her back on that, and she's deciding she's not going to deal with it at the time. And she's trying to be all definitive. She has the two swords up like this, you know, and she's blindfolded. She's like, no, you know. But she's peeking, and that sort of shows the conflict to me. I don't know, maybe I've way overthought this, but this is, I can never let this go, you know. It's like she's peeking out. She can't quite, it's like it's still bothering her. She's trying to turn it off, but she can't.
You know how in the Magician, there is a headband.
Yeah.
And you know how in the nine of wands, there's a headband, although it's a little bit skewed. And in several of the cards, there are headbands. Now, why is it that in this particular card, although her eyes are clearly showing, everybody regards this as a blindfold and not a headband?
Because it would be on her head. It's on her eyes.
Is it? Her eyes are showing.
I'm looking now.
Take a look.
Not much.
She could have like
not much.
Bag over.
I like that. So she's really an old bag. That's what we're talking about here, right?
But her eyes are closed. I don't think she's
okay.
I don't know. She's She is. She's speaking. I can
get
it right there.
Well, just talk among yourselves for a minute, and then we'll get back to, yeah.
I don't know, maybe I'm supposed to go back.
Tina? What do you say?
I just like to make a comment.
Sure.
I find it very interesting that, well, to me, even though she's obviously trying to protect me.
Hold on 1 second. Teresa and Robin, while we're doing this, private conversations are counterproductive. It doesn't work well. Tina?
To me, okay, she obviously doesn't want to see. It seems like she put the blindfold on herself and just falling off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to see what she ought to maybe take a look at. She doesn't want to feel. So she's protecting her son. And yet her back is exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't realize that. But the sword seems so heavy, you know, on her fragile person. She could like topple over, like into the water in the back, which is very choppy. And it's like a very choppy. And I
mm-hmm.
thought that was very
okay. So this doesn't look particularly comfortable or peaceful to you.
Oh, she's very, like, uptight.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's the very weight of her uptightness. Okay, might be the thing that will unbound her and, like, I just see her falling back
okay.
into the water.
Okay.
I just had this very weird flash that she's sitting there posing for a portrait, and she's sitting there with her headband and her swords and her gown, and she can't move, and the headband
just
flips. Like your bra strap falls down. You can't do anything about it. She's sitting there going, I can't believe
it. Yeah, it looks like
it. Down. But she's not supposed to move because the artist is drawing the swords at the moment. It says, don't move.
That's very funny. It's a little bit ambivalent, actually. It's not 100% clear.
It looks like it's a stage card, too, because the water doesn't look, it looks like a backdrop. It doesn't look like it's.
It is a stage card, absolutely.
Yeah.
Why is the moon that way?
Why is the moon that way? Shall I give you another little tidbit?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay. The astrological attribution of this card is the moon in Libra. The balanced swords
mm-hmm.
are Libra, another version of the balanced scales. And the moon, of course, is inside the angle of the swords, and so it's the moon in Libra. Okay?
The moon in Libra.
So
that's right.
The
major is decision then.
Huh?
People who have moon in Libra are the most indecisive.
Uh-huh, there you go.
Even more indecisive than sun in Libra.
One of the things that happens with the cards, the drawing of the cards, the of all of the different interpretations and layers of meaning that the cards contain, the pictures can only show you so much. They have to sometimes make a choice and show you
mm-hmm.
one or another aspect. So what oftentimes happens is that the pictures will be drawn in order to show you the astrological attributions. They're meant to reflect the astrological part of the picture. I mean, there's a lot of other things going on besides astrology, but for purposes of divination, which is one of the reasons the cards were drawn, they tried to incorporate as much as possible the astrological attributions, and so a lot of these pictures are based on that. And when you know what the astrological attributions are, then the key to the picture is right in place, and you can just open the lock, you know, very easily. Yeah, Georgina.
Can you tell me about the graph? Behind
her.
No. Like there's a desert that
no,
has.
This isn't really the time to go into all that, because once we get into that, it's like sinking into quicksand. A little bit and a little piece here and there, but this is not the time for that. We
okay,
chose
algae.
A different route today.
A
no. It's almost 7:30, and I want you to do something else. The other thing I want you to do, this is what I would like you to do, each of you. I would like you to think. Turn the cards face down again. Don't look at them. This is entirely what I wanted to have happen for you, and I think it has happened to a certain extent, that all five of these cards have become at least partially emotionally embedded in your consciousness at this point. It's not a test, it's not a swords thing now, it's a deeper thing. So hopefully the images now have a certain resonance for you, even if you don't remember each and every detail. What I would like you to do is to kind of cast your mind over the five cards slowly and let the one detail in each and all, in the five cards, there will be one detail out of all the details in all five cards, there will be one that is the biggest question mark for you. Some of you said, I was struck by this particular aspect, but what is it? I don't know what that is. What I want you to do is to find among all the details of the card, we're talking physical details now, which one causes you to ask the most interesting question? Which is the most deep, which question is the deepest for you that comes out of these things?
Of any card?
Of any of the five.
Okay.
Just come up with a question that means the most to you, or the one that you want answered the most.
Can we turn them over?
Don't turn them over. I want you to do this from memory. Something will strike you.
And do you have to have only one?
Only one. I want you to focus on one. Now, obviously, there are many.
Oh,
but pick out of if you have many questions, pick one that you particularly like answering.
Okay.
And I would like you to write down that question. Not only the detail, but what your question is about the detail. Now, there's a million questions that are possible. You picked one. I'm not going to ask you what that one is, and I'm not going to give you the answer either. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a method for arriving at answers to questions from deep places inside yourself. How many of you are actually aware of the fact that you are almost unbelievably deep, you personally? You are. I mean, I'm making the statement that you are. I don't care who you are. My assertion is that you are, as a human being, unbelievably deep, essentially bottomless. Does anybody not think that about themselves? Just interested if you thought you had any limitations. Because you don't. So what we're going to do is
We all like unbelievably deep.
We all are, absolutely. And even a person who is normally thought of as being simple-minded or stupid is no less deep than the person who is a genius. The depth of a person has nothing whatsoever to do with the amount of intelligence they have. That's simply a quality. So what I want you to do is to learn to have at least a certain portion of access to the depth inside yourself, and give you a little technique for it. It's very simple. And the technique is called contemplation, which is different than meditation. The purpose of contemplation is to get an answer to a question, at least in this case. And the way you do it is to ask a question which serves as a focus. And I'll say, contemplate the question that you asked. Say to yourself whatever the question is, and then contemplate the further question, what is the answer to my question? You'll ask the question and then say, what is the answer to my question? And you contemplate it. And to contemplate simply means, in this case, to close your eyes while you're asking your question. Hold the question in your mind without straining. Don't go looking for answers. Let this question just sit there. Just hold it in your attention. Don't let it waver. Keep your attention on it and let it dissolve. You know how when you put a piece of hard candy in your mouth and you roll it around in your tongue gently without biting it? Little bit by little bit, the hard shell dissolves and the inner sweetness of the candy comes out. The center will eventually be released. Just like that, a question is a hard shell and the answer is embedded in the question. And if you let it sit there in your mind, just gently reflect on it, think about it lightly, and let it sit there for 2 minutes of silence, and you'll find interesting things percolating up from inside you. Associations, further questions, answers, statements, things that you would not have guessed or suspected. Remember them and write them down when you're done. You'll find it a very interesting process, and you'll have at least a partial answer to the question that you asked. So I'd like you to do that now. Close your eyes. Ask yourself the question in your mind that you asked on paper. Do that now. Close, because otherwise the distraction of the visible world is too much. Ask yourself the question, what is the answer to this question? And then just sit there with it, and I'll tell you when to come back. When the time has come to return, before you say anything to anybody, write down what came up for you. Okay. We did 2 minutes of silence and another little minute or so of writing. How many of you found 2 minutes of silence something of a difficulty? Does anybody find sitting with their eyes closed and focusing on something for 2 minutes difficult? No? Good. Was anybody unhappy with the result? Did anybody not get anything? Again, no.
Well, borderline.
Borderline. Okay.
I feel like I came up with very much.
Okay, well, it's okay. What happens is, as with everything else, since this is a technique, all techniques improve with practice. If this is an easy and comfortable technique for you, you'll be like a person who's very athletic and is shown something athletic to do and they do it really easily and well the first time out. But some of us are not so athletic and we can't do certain things so easily, so we have to work at it harder. But the results are good if you do the practice. Interesting thing. For those of you who did do well, and I gather that some of you came up with some nice stuff. Am I wrong in that, some of you? Okay. We took 2 minutes of silence to work on one question. 2 minutes is not a very long time. There are 78 cards, and there's 1,000 questions in each card. And if you devoted 2 minutes to each question, by a simple matter of multiplication, there's 156,000 minutes of contemplation with another half of that for writing it down. You could spend a lifetime doing this just to get a surface view, just to get the first little piece of depth about the deck. Just the first little piece, because the first 2 minutes, if you were to contemplate the same exact question for another 2 minutes, more would happen. There's actually, this technique can be expanded and extended and made more complex and more rewarding by a lot. So we just did a little, first little thing. Just imagine putting in that kind of time and what you would get from it if you went through the entire deck and dealt with every issue and every question that the deck arises for you. Truly an amazing thought. Just be aware of what you're holding when you're holding this little batch of paper in your hands. So on that cheery note, we'll take a break, and we'll see you in about 10 minutes.